In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together in Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Let us pray. O God, you are the source of life and the ground of our being. By the power of your Spirit, bring healing to this wounded world and raise us to new life of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Our first reading is from the book of Hosea, the 5th and 6th chapters. I will return again to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face. In their distress, they will beg my favor. Come, let us return to the Lord, for it is he who has torn and he who will heal us. He has struck down and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will receive us. On the 3rd day, he will raise us up, and that we may live before him. Let us know. Let us press on to know the Lord. His appearing is as sure as the dawn. He will come to us like the showers, like the spring rains that water the earth. What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? Your love is like morning cloud, like the dew that goes away early. Therefore, I have hewn them by the prophets. I have killed them with the words of my mouth, and my judgment goes forth as the light. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. The word of the Lord. I invite you to read responsively with me Psalm 50. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I will not accept a bull from your house or goats from your folds. I know all the birds of the air, and all that moves in the field is mine.
If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and all that is in it was mine.
I do not eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats.
Offer to God sacrifice of thanksgiving, and pay your vows to the Most High.
Call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Our second reading is from Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the 4th chapter. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, for he is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of God, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said, so numerous shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old. Or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore, his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now the words it was reckoned to him were written not for his sake alone, but also for ours. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was handed over to death for the trespasses, that was raised for our justification. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, Lord.
According to St. Matthew, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." While he was saying these things to them, suddenly a leader of the synagogue came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live." And Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. Then suddenly a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she said to herself, If I only touch his cloak, I will be made well. When Jesus came to the leader's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. And the report of this spread throughout that district. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to Christ.
You may be seated. So yesterday, Andrea and I were sitting down for breakfast, and she's like, "Have you started your sermon yet?" And I was like, "Next question, please." She's like, "Well, what's it going to be about?" And I was like, "I have some ideas." So she's like, what's the text about? What's the gospel about?" And I was like, "Well, let me give you a quick rundown. Well, it starts with a call story of Matthew the tax collector, which is very quick. It's just two sentences. It's a single verse. This is quickly followed by the related story of Israel's leaders reacting to Jesus dining with Matthew the tax collector, his fellow tax collectors, and the many other sinners that were there. And there's a big shock. They didn't really like it. The lectionary then skips a few verses to a synagogue leader asking Jesus to revive his dead daughter. And just as we get into this narrative, it's interrupted by what I'll call an over-the-counter healing. This is a healing that's not prescribed by Jesus, but self-prescribed by a woman that just knew if she touched Jesus' cloak, she would be healed. And she was. Her hemorrhages of 12 years stopped immediately. Like I said, self-prescribed healing. And finally, when Jesus gets back to this synagogue leader's daughter, he says, "The girl's just sleeping." And then they laugh at him, but he takes her by the hand anyway, and she gets up. And I'm guessing the laughing at that point stopped. "Wow, that sounds like a lot," said Andrea. And she was right. There is a lot condensed in today's gospel. But even still, even as this sounds like a lot, I skipped perhaps the most important verse when I just gave you that rundown. The verse that I think holds this whole thing together is when Jesus says, "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice." Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Okay, Jesus, I'll bite. What does this mean? So, if I'm really honest about it, the lectionary, you know, that collection of readings that we read every Sunday, sometimes it really confuses me. It's supposed to be designed where all the readings connect to one another and there's like some coherent message you're supposed to get out of it. But I don't always get what that coherent message is supposed to be. But today it makes a lot of sense. The lectionary did a good job today. Because when Jesus says, "Go and learn what this means, I desire mercy, not sacrifice," he's pointing to the prophet Hosea. And Kevin, who was our first reading from today? The prophet Hosea, who says, speaking on behalf of the Lord, "I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." And conveniently enough, this is what Kevin read for us today. Jesus says, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." Hosea says, "I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice." Jesus says mercy, Hosea says steadfast love, but he was speaking on behalf of God, so who's right? They're similar, but they're not exactly the same. So why is there this difference? I hear you asking this question. You're asking this question, right? You're saying, "Sean, why is there this difference?" Because these are translations. We speak English. We read the Bible in English. We hear the Bible read to us in English. Hosea's words are translated from Hebrew, and Jesus' words come to us from the Greek. So I'm going to skip the Greek today, but let's dig into the Hebrew. When you are reading the Old Testament, of course, in English, and you come across the words steadfast love, steadfast love, there is a really good chance that the Hebrew behind it is my favorite word in the entire Hebrew lexicon. And honestly, it's one of the few Hebrew words I can remember without looking it up. It is chesed. Chesed. The reason I like this word so much, chesed, is First of all, it just sounds really cool. You kind of start it in the back of your throat. You're like, chesed. And my daughter's embarrassed. I get it. I understand. Having me as a dad is embarrassing. Chesed. Second, I love it because of what it means. But finally, I love it because there is no direct English equivalent for this word. So you get translations like steadfast love and mercy. Steadfast love. It does a decent job of translating chesed. And mercy, it's sometimes appropriate, but it's incomplete in its translation. But to fully understand chesed, we need to do more than try on English equivalents like we would go into a dressing room and try on clothes. We instead need to become immersed in chesed. And to do this, I want to take us to the book of, anyone have any guesses? Anybody have any guesses at what book of the Bible probably demonstrates chesed the best? It's very obscure. It's probably my favorite book of the Bible. Andrea might know this. Maybe. No? No? The book of Ruth. The book of Ruth. But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me and more as well, if even death parts me from you." Anyone, feel free to raise your hand. Anyone have this verse at their wedding? Anyone? Yes. So, I love this as a wedding verse, by the way. But there is a problem with this as a wedding verse, and it's why it's not more common. Ruth isn't saying this to her husband. Does anyone know who she's saying it to? Her mother-in-law! Her mother-in-law. I still, by the way, love this as a wedding verse, Thomas. I got to pick this for a friend's wedding not too long ago, and I picked this verse, even knowing it was for the mother-in-law. To Naomi, this was said to her mother-in-law. Sorry. No, Naomi is her mother-in-law, right? And how many of you can imagine saying this, other than, of course, Marty, how many of you can imagine saying this to your mother-in-law? Does she say that to you a lot? Yeah, right. Does George say this to you a lot, Marty? Yes. So here's the Cliff's Notes version of these verses that are leading up to this section of Ruth. There's a famine in Bethlehem, which is ironic because Bethlehem translates literally house of bread. There's a famine in the house of bread. Naomi, her husband, and her two sons go to the land of Moab to live there because allegedly there's food there. And they find it, so they stay. Well, Naomi's husband, he dies. Her sons marry these Moabite women, Ruth and Orpah. But then Naomi's sons die. Naomi hears the famine in Bethlehem. The house of bread might once again have bread. It's over. So Naomi heads for Bethlehem. Ruth and Orpah follow, but Naomi insists. She says, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? Basically, Naomi's saying, I have no hope. Don't waste your lives on me. Stay here with your people in the land of Moab. You're still young. You still have your lives ahead of you. Get married. Have kids. Take care of yourselves. Don't worry about me. And Orpah, she weeps. She doesn't want to leave Naomi, but Naomi is pretty convincing there. So Orpah heads back and goes with her people into Moab. But Ruth clings to Naomi. And that is when she says, do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you, because where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God. It takes all of that for me to explain what chesed is, that untranslatable word, chesed. So out of steadfast love and commitment and faithfulness to Naomi, Ruth follows her into an unknown future, into a foreign land that allegedly has food again, into a land that, oh, by the way, the people don't really like Moabites, and yet Ruth follows Naomi. The Lord says in Hosea, I want chesed and not sacrifice. I want you to follow me. I want you to love me. I want you to devote yourself to me like Ruth did to Naomi. Don't just burn some animals and call that love. Know me, love me, follow me. And Jesus says to Israel's leaders, be merciful to one another. Show chesed to one another. This is what your God, my Father, demands, not sacrifices, chesed. When we try to learn what I desire mercy means, as Jesus commands us to do in today's gospel, when we work to understand mercy and steadfast love, when we work to understand just what chesed is in action, we begin to realize that Jesus could just as well have said, learn what it means to follow me. Follow me. And when we look back at this passage from Matthew, we see just how much following is going on. Follow me, says Jesus to Matthew, and he does. A woman is following Jesus, touches the fringe of his cloak, just the fringe of his cloak, and is healed. A man, a leader of the synagogue, his daughter is dead, in his grief finds himself coming to Jesus, following Jesus. Learn what it means to follow me. For all of these, Matthew, for all of these people, Matthew, the woman with the hemorrhages, the synagogue leader, this is a blind faith. This is a faith that Paul was talking about in Romans today. This is a blind faith that knows Jesus is the only hope that we have. But Matthew, the tax collector, takes this blind faith one step further. His blind faith leads to something. As a newly minted follower of Jesus, he demonstrates chesed. He invites not the synagogue leaders, but the sinners and his tax collector friends to dinner. And that's our call, isn't it? Not that we purposely seek out sinners. We don't really have to do that anyway, do we? I mean, as I look out upon you all, I'm surrounded by sinners today. And just to make sure I include myself in that, you have a pretty good sinner talking to you right now. And when we go beyond this, what? It's true. And when we go beyond this place, we will be surrounded by sinners. But we can't pretend that just because we're Christian, we aren't sinners. The point is that Matthew follows Jesus, and then he celebrates with his friends, inviting them to meet the one in whom he has found hope. And who knows, maybe they too will follow Jesus. This is chesed. This is what Matthew demonstrates in inviting all of his friends. He's not all of a sudden insulated with these disciples, these followers of Jesus. He goes back to his old friends, and he invites them to follow Jesus. Jesus says, learn what it means to show mercy. Learn what it means to show steadfast love. Learn what it means to know God and follow Jesus Christ. Learn what it means to demonstrate chesed. So one last detail about this gospel for Matthew today. A last little detail about following and about chesed. Suddenly, a leader of the synagogue came in and knelt before Jesus, begging him to bring his daughter back to life. And Jesus got up and followed him. Jesus got up and followed this synagogue leader to where his dead daughter was. Jesus followed. So now we can imagine Jesus saying Ruth's words, do not press me to leave you or turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. And it's not hard to imagine this because Jesus says these words to us over and over and over again in our lives. Jesus demonstrates. Jesus does these words over and over and over again in our lives. This is chesed. This is chesed. But Jesus chesed, this isn't just any chesed. This is a perfect chesed. Only our God, in the person and the work of Jesus Christ, in his life and death and resurrection, has and continues to show us perfect chesed to us, God's own people. So today, for that perfect chesed of Jesus Christ, for the comfort that we have in knowing that we will be relentlessly followed and pursued by Jesus Christ, and for the hopeful faith that comes from living in the comfort of this truth, what else can we say but thanks be to God? Amen.
confessing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Trusting in God's abundant mercy, we pray for the world in need.
We pray, O God, for the church. Unite us with any on the margins, that the whole world recognizes that your mercy is greater than our human capacity to restrict it. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. We pray, O God, for the nations. Awaken in our leaders compassion for people who have too often felt forgotten or neglected, and inspire policy solutions that promote equity and inclusion. Thaw relations and open communication between the United States and China. Use these nations for the betterment of the world and its people, that they would not grapple for power, but use the power they have to end wars, like the war that is ongoing in Ukraine and Russia, and to help promote global stability. God, in your mercy,
we pray, O God, for creation. Tend forests and fields, and safeguard all cattle, birds, and wild animals. Preserve lakes, rivers, and oceans, and send rains to water the earth. Revive lands that are recovering from natural disaster. We pray for rain for the newly planted crops. Where there is too much rain, withhold it. As we enter hurricane and wildfire season in the U.S. and Canada, restrain the power of your creation and allow us to live in harmony with what you have made. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. We pray, O God, for the eradication of racial hatred. On this week that we commemorate the 8th anniversary of the senseless deaths of the Emmanuel Nine, Clementa, Cynthia, Daniel, DePayne, Ethel, Myra, Sharonda, Susie, and Tawanze, who were shot while gathered for a Bible study, we give thanks for their faithful lives and witness. Provide healings for their families and the family of Dylan, who all still seek understanding. Stir up in your church a passion for your word revealed in Jesus, that we may be a church that studies the scriptures, shows hospitality, prays without ceasing, and embodies prophetic justice in community. Embolden church leaders and all the baptized to remember the lives of the Emmanuel Nine, to repent of racism and renew our commitment to your word revealed most fully in Jesus, our way, truth, and life. In your great mercy,
hear our prayer. We pray, O God, for all who are in need. Accompany anyone enduring chronic illness, any who suffer in secret, and those grieving a loved one's death. Send healing for all who plead for relief from sickness or pain, especially for Marcella, Linda, Delbert, Karen, Janet, Joy, Stephanie, Jamie, Deb, Frida, Heidi, Kate, Bill, Katie, Deanne, Linda, Patty, Tim, Ed, Wilma, and those touched by those who support FLC, First Lutheran Church, Outreach Ministry, and those who we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Today we lift the family and friends of Delbert Jones, who joined the church triumphant this week.
Let us all live in the hope of the resurrection that we believe, that we may all join the church triumphant upon our deaths. In your great mercy, receive our prayers and answer us, O God, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. At this time, we continue worship with our gifts and our offerings.
Let us pray. God of field and forest, sea and sky, you are the giver of all good things. Sustain us with these gifts of your creation and multiply your graciousness in us, that the world may be fed with your love. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God. You reveal your mercy as the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, equal in majesty, undivided in splendor, one Lord, one God, ever adored in your eternal power. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin.
Do this for the remembrance of me. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Please stand as you're able to do so. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in God's grace. Amen.
Let us pray. We thank you, generous God, for the refreshment that we have received at your banquet table. Send us now to spread your generosity into all the world through the one who is our dearest treasure, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Amen. And you may now be seated for a few announcements. So you can stand up again in a minute. It's with a heavy heart, but also with the hope in our crucified Lord and Savior that I let you know this morning that Delbert Jones passed away on Friday. His arrangements are on Tuesday of this week. It is calling hours from 11 to 1. At Heil Funeral Home in Ashland. There will be a graveside service where I will be presiding at 1:30 in Ashland also. I think the cemetery is close to Heil Funeral Home. And then at approximately 2:30, depending on how long the service is and how long it takes to get back here, there will be a meal here, a luncheon with Delbert's family, and you are all, of course, invited to join and celebrate Delbert's life with us here, and of course, at you know, the calling hours and the graveside service, if you would like. A few meeting announcements, starting with today. If you are on the worship and music. If you are on the worship and music committee team, we will be meeting here after the service to plan boring ordinary time, which we started today. Wednesday, they're just kind of an FYI to you all. We will be meeting once again with the all five CCLP congregations to continue those conversations. This will be our second meeting as part of that. So please keep us in your prayers, and we will certainly keep you informed on everything that's going on with that. Thursday, ignore the Hope Team meeting. Hope Team is done for the summer. That is not happening at 5:30. We will be having a mission and evangelism, or whatever we call that team. Is that what we call it? I should learn it. Mission and evangelism meeting at 5, followed by a council meeting at 6. And I think on Wednesday we have a meal or something, don't we? Do we have a meal on Wednesday? Yeah. So Wednesday we have a meal here at 5. So I think that covers it all. Please continue to look at the thing. I think we still need some greeters. So if you want to greet, it's not hard to do. You just have to say hi to people and hand them a piece of paper. It's great. So if you want to be a greeter, please join the club. All right. That is all the announcements I have, unless you all have some more. All right. With that, then, a reminder... I guess I had one more. A reminder of this noisy offering, which we will do with our closing hymn. Remain seated until apparently my children run to you, and Abby, run to you, at which point you can stand up if you would like. Do you have an announcement? Yes. Oh. you didn't count it for me. I did count it, and thank you all very much once again for your very kind gift to me with the noisy offering for my graduation. And with that, please stand as you're able to do so.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen.
Now go in peace and praise the Lord.